Here's an idea. You know, it's almost as though saying you're an oil company executive today is about the same as telling people you're your used car salesman around 1952.
Gas prices keep surging while they continue to make billions in profits.
Transocean, as owner and operator of the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig, had responsibility for the safety of drilling operations.
Here's $1,000.
Well, it's about time. But why?
We pay every resident $1,000 to allow the oil companies to ravage our state's natural beauty.
Okay, and not very hard to find reasons to hate the oil companies, especially as oil continues to gush in the Gulf of Mexico. Oil execs refusing to accept responsibility and trying to pass the blame around when they were talking to Congress didn't help. And neither did soaring gas prices a couple years back, right when oil companies were posting record profits. John Hofmeister agrees most people hate oil companies in the United States. He even wrote a book called Why We Hate the Oil Companies. But he's also the former president of Shell Oil, and he says there's more at play here than the Gulf spill and high prices at the pump. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So you don't think that the incidence of high prices and on oil spills are to blame here. Why do you think people don't like oil companies?
Well, I think we have to go back to first principles. The oil companies are doing their job in producing the oil that keeps our economy afloat and keeps people's lifestyles being what they are. That is why we use oil. It's part of who we are as a nation. Why we hate the oil companies comes about largely, in my judgment, because our government has consistently and continuously failed to create energy policies which enable Americans to have the benefit of affordable energy, energy that comes from much lower risk locations. We have to ask ourselves, why are we in the deep water Gulf of Mexico to start with? It's because our government will not allow the oil companies to drill in places that are less risky. And so the oil companies go where the oil is. That takes them into the deep water Gulf of Mexico.
Wait, would you include the Alaskan Refuge in those less risky places?
I think there are some places that are best left alone. And I've been on record for a long time that ANWR, the Alaska Wildlife Refuge, simply is not worth the political cost of developing it, and particularly because it has a very low quantity of oil.
So, John Hofmeister, I'm just wondering, though, if this goes back way, a long way. I mean, the Standard Oil Company had a reputation for absolute ruthlessness in dealing with competitors. It certainly didn't particularly care about the government, and in many ways, the response to Standard Oil was to regulate the industry in ways that you've described. I mean, the oil industry is really responsible for a lot of this.
It got off to a bad start, and it continues, unfortunately, to live behind a wall of silence. I call it, you know, public relations isolation in my book. By living in public relations isolation, people, consumers, are left to guess, what are the oil companies thinking? What are they doing? I think the oil companies have to be out there telling their story the way IT companies or consumer electronics or telephone companies come out and tell their story. And I'm very critical of the industry in that regard.
Okay, let's just go to the Gulf oil spill here for just a second. There was a lot of negative feedback against the oil companies as Transocean and BP and Halliburton all tried to pass blame from one to the other. Can we blame one of them in particular for what's going on in the Gulf?
I think we have to ask ourselves, in addition to looking at the behavior of those three companies, why in the world did Congress hold hearings so they could excoriate these companies before they have any facts of what actually happened? Shouldn't there be an investigation about why, who did what when? And then once we know who did what when, have hearings that would question, why did you do this when? Instead, they brought them in, they dragged them in front of Congress and the national television audience, and basically these folks had to do what their lawyers would tell them to do, which is defend yourself, defend your company. So who was set up to do what?
Well, now, but John, that's how it works in Washington. I mean, that's the way hearings go.
They did
these guys
thing
are
to the
real
auto
world.
Companies. I mean, yeah. There's lots of people brought before Congress to answer for themselves.
Yeah, and what good does it accomplish? It just simply embarrasses normal human beings, puts them in a defenseless position, and it doesn't accomplish anything for the American people. It does not produce a single barrel of oil to be able to excoriate somebody in front of the public.
Right, but one thing that the politicians say that they're doing is just that they're trying to keep pressure on BP to get to move as quickly as they can. Let me play for you this clip from Interior Secretary Ken Salazar.
Since the incident began, I promised that we would keep our boot on BP's neck, and in the past few weeks, we have absolutely been doing that.
So to a certain extent, politicians and officials feel they're just pressuring the company to do what they need to do.
Well, it makes the secretary sound very brave, but the fact is, if you don't do the engineering properly, you could create more harm than good. What the government has to do is make tough decisions on the future of our energy policy. That's a big part of what my book is about.
Shouldn't, if oil companies are going to be drilling in places which are sensitive, and there could be an argument made that any place is sensitive, shouldn't they be investing the same amount of money into research over safety and cleanup efforts as they have into research and development and finding new places to drill?
And I think that's part and parcel of what the companies do. The amount of redundancy, the amount of effort spent to de-risk, and that's a common word in the industry, de-risk the process, goes on continuously.
So how can they clean up the spill? Is there something that they're not doing?
Well, I think there is certain technology that is basic. Cleaning up oil is a messy process. It's a basic process. Stopping the oil leak in the first place is the way you don't have to clean up oil later.
Okay, John Hofmeister, former president of Shell Oil, author of Why We Hate the Oil Companies. I want to throw this out to you. Do you think the government is too hard on the oil companies? Let us know what you think. Are we hating them for the wrong reasons? 877-8-MY-TAKE, post to thetakeaway.org. You can also send us a text message. Use text the word TAKE to 69866, and now you'll get instructions from there. You could get charged for that text.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.